Good morning. The intention for this morning's Mass is for Ray DeMuth. Please join in singing our opening song, number 485, What Wondrous Love Is This, number 485. Please stand if you are able.
Love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. My soul to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
Just a reminder that at the end of Mass today, as we've been doing once a month, to commemorate the Eucharistic revival, we'll have Eucharistic adoration at the end of Mass. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault.
Therefore I ask the Blessed Mary, ever Virgin,
all the angels and saints, and to you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May the Almighty God have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray.
O God, who through your word reconciled the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
At this time, I now invite any children who would like to participate in the children's liturgy of the word to come forward.
Thank you.
reading from the second book of Chronicles. In those days, all the princes of Judah, the priests, and the people added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. Early and often did the Lord, the God their fathers, send his messengers to them, for he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his warnings, and scoffed at his prophets, until the anger of the Lord against his people was so inflamed that there was no remedy. Their enemies burnt the house of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, set all its palaces afire, and destroyed all its precious objects. Those who escaped the sword were carried captive to Babylon, where they became servants of the king of Chaldeans and his sons, until the kingdom of the Persians came to power. All this was to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. Until the land has retrieved its lost Sabbaths, during all the time it lies waste, it shall have rest, while 70 years are fulfilled. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue this proclamation throughout his kingdom, by word of mouth and in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given to me, and he also charged me to build his house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever, therefore, among you belongs to any part of his people, let him go up, and may his God be with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Streams of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. On the aspens of that land we hung up our harps. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. For there are captors asked of us the lyrics of our songs, and our despoilers urged us to be joyous, sing for us the songs of Zion. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. How could we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand be forgotten. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. May my tongue cleave to my palate if I remember you not, if I place not Jerusalem ahead of my joy. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not from you, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance, that we should live in them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people prefer darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was in Guatemala over the summer, one of the things that I noticed was the amount of break time that we often took between things. The group that I was with, we did a lot of different service projects, especially in our kind of first week that we were there. We would do things like we painted a health clinic, we installed a water filtration system near a church, we helped move different things around, help with different health initiatives. And often we would do these things in the morning, and in the middle of the morning, we would stop and take a break, usually eat a snack of some kind. But we were often unsure about how long exactly that break would last. There was really no sense of urgency about completing the project or knowing we have to get back to work to be able to get this done today. And that's different than what we experience here in the United States, where you might take a 30-minute or an hour lunch break, or you might take little breaks during the day, but you know immediately you got to get back to work. You know, you might even feel a little guilty about taking a break during the day. Or another example is that when we would go to a restaurant to eat, usually a nicer restaurant, anywhere in Guatemala, it didn't really matter, we would be there for about 2 hours usually, at minimum, for dinner. And that would be something that would be almost unthinkable here, that you would spend that amount of time for a meal. And the point that I'm trying to make is that for Guatemalan culture, the work itself is not the most important thing. It's that sense of time, that sense of rest that you have, that leisure time, that time spent with others, takes precedence over the work that you're trying to accomplish. And that points to something in our first reading from the book of Chronicles about the restoration of the Sabbath. It's kind of a small detail, but I think it's important. In this time in Israel's history, there was lots of profanation that was going on. We hear about all these different things, especially at the beginning of the reading. And not just the Sabbath day itself was not being observed, like it should have been on Saturday, but there were whole Sabbath years that were proclaimed by the Lord that had not been observed. And they hadn't been observed for years. And so we hear quoted from the prophet Jeremiah calls this out. And King Cyrus, who hears the word of Jeremiah, then builds a house for the Lord, partially whether he knows he's doing this or not, to really restore the Sabbath. It's an attempt to retrieve all of those lost Sabbaths, 70 years of those lost Sabbaths. Now, why is the Sabbath so important? Well, all of creation is made for the Sabbath. That's the seventh day of rest that the Lord takes in the book of Genesis. And the Jewish people throughout their history, and even up till today, observed the Sabbath. In fact, Jews today will often take that Sabbath rest. They're not permitted to do any work on Saturday. Even going to such extremes as not even turning on a light would be considered work for them. Now, in Christianity, Jesus' resurrection occurs on Sunday, what we would call the eighth day. Now, of course, we only have 7 days in a week, of course, so it's referring to not a literal eighth day, but spiritually. So we celebrate the Lord's Day on Sunday. And you even see that rest that occurs, you'll see this in a few weeks when we celebrate Holy Week on Holy Saturday. There's Jesus resting in the tomb, preparing for his resurrection. The Sabbath, then, was recreated and fulfilled in Christ, moving it to the Lord's Day on Sunday. And the church continues to obviously carry this through. We're asked to keep holy the Lord's Day by attending the holy sacrifices of the Mass on Sunday. And the other part of that, too, is to avoid any unnecessary work on Sunday, meaning work that you don't need to do to provide for the basic needs of your family. And we have to kind of discern in our own minds what's unnecessary work, but the church still asks for us to keep that as a day of rest on Sunday. And so all of this is to say that whether we look at the account in Genesis all the way up to be fulfilled in the Lord's resurrection, one of the things that we clearly see is that man is made for that Sabbath rest. There is an endpoint in that. And the Sabbath is not just a day to rest so that we can just complete more work during the rest of the week. That sense of rest is actually important for its own sake, because it's all about the restoration of our being and knowing who we are in the eyes of God. Because our being is all about knowing that we are loved by God. And observing that Sabbath rest is a key point to that. Our gospel speaks specifically about the love of God for us. We know that God so loved the world that he sacrificed his only begotten Son, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That famous passage from John chapter 3, verse 16. But Christ died for all of us personally, individually. But we have to be willing to accept that love, to move towards the light of Christ, to reject the darkness, to not prefer the darkness of sin, but prefer the light of truth, the light of Christ. And it's very hard for us to receive love. It's really uncomfortable, actually. We would actually rather give love to others in service of others than really receive love ourselves. I've heard it said that we would rather be ministers to others than really be ministered to. And that's why I think observing the Sabbath rest is so hard for us. We don't really want to experience the love of God. We don't really want to stay and just observe and have our being. It's a little uncomfortable. We would rather fill our day with work than take in that love of God, to know that we are God's creation, that he loves us so much. One of the things the priests do every year, required to do every year, is to go on a retreat. And sometimes priests will choose to go on silent retreats. And when you go on a silent retreat, you don't bring your phone, you don't bring any technology usually with you. And there's that sense of just being with the Lord. Initially, when you do it, it's a little uncomfortable because you're used to having so much noise and distraction in your life, so much active ministry in your life. Now, on our Sabbath day of rest, we don't necessarily have to go that far. But the point I'm trying to make is that when we have that time that's spent with the Lord, just being with him, it's a little uncomfortable at first, but we come to really understand the Lord's love and the Lord's call for us. So we need to take that Sabbath rest day, that Lord's day, and make it special. We need to have that time to reconnect with who we are as beloved sons and daughters of God. We need to receive the love from not just from God, of course, first and foremost, but also from our family and friends. Those of you that have kids, they also need to observe that Sabbath rest, that time that they are with the Lord. They need to not have weekends where they're at sporting events or activities. They need to have time where they're able to spend it with you, that time where they just be, where they just receive love from you as parents and from God. And what that teaches them, and ourselves actually, is that receiving God's love is the most important thing that we do, that we need it desperately in our lives. Because we can't earn God's love. We already have it. In our second reading, we hear that it's not by works that we're saved, but it's by the gift of faith that we receive from God, to be able to see the amazing things that he's doing in our life. That's what seeing with the eyes of faith is all about. And so we don't just earn our salvation through acts of service that we do, but rather we do it by receiving the love of God, and then our works become fruitful through the reception of that love. And so it makes our salvation God's work rather than our work. But we need to know that love of God first, to know that that is the most important thing that we have to receive in our lives first. And it comes through observing and acknowledging the Lord's Day, acknowledging that Sabbath rest that we so need. And Lent is a great time for us to be able to do that, to simplify our lives and be able to return to the Lord, to return to that rest with our whole heart that we so desperately need, and really receive his love. So let us reclaim that Lord's Day of rest.
I believe, one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God,
born of the Father of all ages,
God from God,
light from light,
true God from true God,
begotten not made,
consubstantial with the Father.
Through him all things were made.
For us men and for our salvation,
he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man.
For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended into heaven,
and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
God's grace has touched each of us, and with his strength, we now have the courage to present to him all our needs.
That under the wise leadership of Pope Francis, the Church all over the world in this Lenten season may help us to unite our present sufferings with those of Christ our Savior. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That those who govern our country or serve in public office may exercise wisdom and justice to benefit all the people they serve. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That men and women will answer the call of their vocations, denying themselves, taking up their crosses, and following Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That those who have had or participated in an abortion may trust in the Father of Mercies, who always welcomes his repentant children. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That all who have died, especially Margie Conradi, may be purified of sin and rejoice in eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Father, may we who have strayed from your friendship also experience your forgiveness and the answers to the prayers we have placed before you today. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Please join in singing Be Thou My Vision, number 407, number 407.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, but by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Riches I heed not or man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Please
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept this sacrifice into your hands for the praise and the glory of his name, for our good and good of all his holy church.
We place before you with joy these offerings which bring eternal remedy, O Lord, praying that we may both faithfully revere them and present them to you as is fitting for the salvation of all the world, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you have given your children a sacred time for the renewing and purifying of their hearts, that freedom, disordered affections, they may so deal with the things of this passing world as to hold rather to the things that eternally endure. And so with the angels and saints, we praise you as without end we acclaim.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you've created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
Save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection you have set us free.
Therefore, Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ.
may he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and John, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, to whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, my soul shall be healed.
Please join in singing number 661, You Alone, number 661. as you are, Lord. Who of us is sinless in this place? Who of us deserves your saving grace? Who of us is good at all without your blessed love that falls upon our hearts to heal our brokenness? You alone are holy, you alone are Lord, you alone are worthy to be honored and adored. Mercy you have given, kindness you have shown, love is you alone. What is there to do but thank you then for the gift that we might call you friend? Greater love has not been known than that you give your only Son, that you might see us pure and blessed. You alone are holy, you alone are Lord, you alone are worthy to be honored and adored. Mercy given, kindness you have shown, love is you alone. Who of us is sinless in this place? Who of us deserves your saving grace? Who of us is good at all without your blessed love that falls upon our hearts to heal our brokenness? You alone are holy, you alone are Lord, you alone are worthy to be honored and adored. Mercy you have given, kindness you have shown, love is you alone. What is there to do but thank you then for the gift that we might call you friend? Greater love has not been known than that for which you give your only Son, that you might see us pure and blessed. You alone are holy, to be honored and adored. Mercy you have given, kindness you have shown, love is you
Let us pray. O God, who enlighten everyone who comes into this world, illuminate our hearts, we pray, with the splendor of your grace, that we may always ponder what is worthy and pleasing to your majesty, and love you in all sincerity, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Parish announcements.
As part of the National Eucharistic Revival, one time each month the cathedral is offering a small group study called Jesus and the Eucharist. You have three chances to join each month, continuing this week. Even if you miss a month, you can always join another. The same weekend each month, we will also conclude each Mass with a brief time of Eucharistic adoration, including today.
Please kneel as we begin Eucharistic adoration.
The words and songs for Eucharistic adoration are found on page 210 in the Missalette. O saving victim, open wide the of him to us below. Our foes press on from every side. Your aid supply, your strength bestow. To your great name be endless praise. Immortal Godhead, one in three, grant us for endless length of days in our true native land to be.
As we take this time to just be with the Lord, to rest with him, it could be a time to offer just intentions that might be on your heart for the church and the needs of the world, and offer a thanksgiving for what we've received in this Holy Mass. We will now conclude our time of adoration with benediction.
Down in adoration falling, this great sacrament we hail. Over ancient forms of worship, newer rites of grace prevail. Faith will tell us Christ is present.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you gave us the Eucharist as the memorial of your suffering and death. May your worship of this sacrament to your body and blood help us to experience the salvation you won for us and the peace of the kingdom where you live with the Father and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
The divine praises together. Blessed be God. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be his most sacred heart. Blessed be his most precious blood. Blessed be Jesus in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Blessed be the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Blessed be the great Mother of God, Mary, most holy. Blessed be your holy and immaculate conception. Blessed be your glorious assumption.
Blessed be the name of Mary, Virgin and Mother. Blessed be Saint Joseph, her most chaste spouse. Blessed be God and his angels and in his saints.